Welcome in to another episode of the Unnamed MMA Podcast. I'm Adam Abdallah. Across from me, as always, is Jordan Sherwood. You can follow him on Twitter at WoodOnESPN1000. Thank you for listening to the Unnamed MMA Podcast. It is finally here,
Jordan. Finally arrived.
We finally made it. UFC 300. 12 current or former champions. You've got Pereira, Zhang, Hill, Holloway, Gaethje, Prochazka, Oliveira, Figueroa, Sterling, Holm, Garbrandt, Andrade, and then 18 ranked fighters are all on this card.
Did you see the class picture they took, all the former champions they took?
I
think it was 2 days ago. It was a very awkward because they put Hill and Pereira like next to each other.
Well, and also I watched some of the press conference yesterday where they were all up there at the exact same time, and you had like three different tiers going of all the different fighters, and it seemed like the UFC had put it in their heads to say how great of a card it was and how honored they were to be on this card, because every single fighter said the exact same thing. Like, it was like a message that was sent out. They all got a text right before they went on. Make sure you say this is a great card, because it is. It is. It's a great card. And make sure you say what an honor it is to be fighting at UFC 300.
Yeah, look, the storyline that I've used now for months, and we've talked about it on the podcast, you're right. Top to bottom, fantastic fight card. When you open up with a matchup with Figueroa and Garbrandt, two former champions in two different divisions, two guys that were supposed to fight for the championship at flyweight not too long ago, and they open the card, it's a great card. But here's the thing. It lacks star power. It does. UFC 200, UFC 100 had Brock Lesnar, had George St. Pierre, had Amanda Nunes.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that component to it that I do not think can be ignored, but bottom line is this fight card is great. And the big storyline now, before we dive in deep into, you know, these actual fights, is the announcement that Dana White made at that press conference.
Yeah.
Where the fight bonus now is $300,000.
That's a lot of money.
Six times more than it normally is at 50K.
So if you get fight of the night, $300,000 each fighter.
$300,000. So there's some storylines now out there that fighters are going to be a little bit motivated to maybe alter their game plan,
mm-hmm.
maybe reach out to their said opponent and be like, hey, we've got an opportunity to change our lives, because that is life-changing money.
Oh, absolutely.
Particularly for a lot of these fighters that are not making anywhere close to that when they have to give out a percentage to their manager and their coaches and their corners. This is a game changer.
I saw it yesterday. Not the weigh-in, but like the pre-fight face-to-face between Oliveira and Armin Sarukian. Sarukian looked right at him because they were stone-faced, because like everybody here is. And then Sarukian went in for, you know, to shake his hand, and he said, let's get that bonus. So like, you're right. You're absolutely right. These guys are going to be trying to get that bonus. You can also get a performance of the night bonus. So if you come in, and that's a single fight bonus, that's a single fighter bonus. That doesn't go to both fighters. So if you come in and, you know, Alex Pereira comes in and completely dominates Jamahal Hill and has a great fight, and he earns performance of the night, not only does he retain his belt, but he gets another $300,000. So there is the motivation to have a good fight between the two fighters, but then you could also get performance of the night if I just knock the crap out of the other guy. Or have an insanely good fight. Exactly. Well, listen, I don't think Bo Nickel should get it. We'll talk about that in a little bit. That's not even fair. He should be disqualified from getting other bonuses. If anything, if Brundage does anything, automatic bonus.
Automatic
bonus for Cody Brundage if he pulls off an upset here. So I don't know how you want to attack this. There's so many good fights on this card. Do you want to? We don't normally do this, but let's just glaze over the early prelims, because we never talk about the early prelims. But you mentioned starting the fight with Deiveson Figueiredo, Cody Garbrandt, going into Bobby Green, and then Jim fucking Miller. Hopefully, he mentioned it during the press conference yesterday. He mentioned two things. Could he fight it at UFC 400? And he told Dana White that if the bonuses are $400,000, count me in for UFC 400.
I did the math, though. Jim Miller would be pushing like 49 years of age
if
he were able to compete at UFC 400.
Can you take a punch at 49?
Probably.
Let's get some bonuses here. And then, I mean, Jessica Andrade is a great fight against Marina Rodriguez. And then Jalen Turner against Renato Moicano. That's another great fight. So just overall thoughts on those four fights to start the early, early prelims.
Yeah, I think the matchup for Deveson Figueiredo is good against Cody Garbrandt. You know, we've seen now this will be fight number two for Deveson at the 135-pound weight class. He looked great in his debut in that weight class, just thumping Rob Font, who's been a stalemate in that division for quite some time. You know, Garbrandt does have quickness. He's got wrestling. He also has power, but I don't think the wrestling will be a threat. The quickness won't be a threat. And what does Deveson have that has plagued Cody Garbrandt, you know, basically throughout his career? And that's someone with power. Garbrandt's got a shaky chin, and I've seen the money line or the line right now at Figueiredo at to win via TKO is at like plus 145, plus 135. I think that's going to be a recommended play that I have for sure. I think stylistically it's a perfect matchup for Deveson to get win number two in that division. Those are two guys that might go out and try and win that fight night bonus. Garbrandt likes to get in firefights, and I think obviously Deveson will oblige. So I certainly believe that's a way to get some value, you know, with Deveson. I want to bet Jim Miller. There's two guys on the card that I'm going to bet no matter if it's a smart bet or not. It's going to be Jim Miller and it's going to be Charles Oliveira. We'll get to that a little bit later on in the podcast. But it's a tough matchup for Jim Miller. Stylistically, Bobby Green is very athletic. He's very hard to take down. He still has a pretty good chin, even though he got thumped by Jalen Turner, I believe, his last fight. Jim Miller does carry power still at 40 years of age. It'll be an action-packed fight for sure, but I can't, like, fat jacket. I can't, you know, say it'll be one of my premium picks, but I'm certainly going to play Jim Miller. This is UFC 300. Jessica Andrade, I like her matchup against Marina Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. I think it's very safe to say that she could be a money line play, just straight up no really method of victory there. And I love Money Mike Kano. I love to get the win because he's awesome on the mic afterwards after he wins. But Jalen Turner, the tarantula, that guy, how he makes 155, the power he carries. Moicano's been tagged in a lot of fights, has been knocked out a couple of times. I'll probably sit back and watch that fight. But if I'm going to play it, I'm going to play Moicano because I love Moicano, but it's a tough draw. Turner's probably going to knock him out.
Yeah. On to the prelims real quick. We've got Sadiq Youssef against Diego Lopez. Holly Holm is on a prelim here. Kayla Harrison she's 16-1. Saw the press conference yesterday. She looks great, ready for this fight. Calvin Kattar against Aljamain Sterling. Aljamain Sterling mentioned that he's not hungry, he's not agitated because he's fighting at featherweight, so he's not as doing the cut that he's used to. And then you've got Jiří Procházka and Alexander Rakic as the final prelim before we begin this main card for UFC 300.
I'm going to take a look at Diego Lopez to win via submission. I think it's a good matchup against Sadiq Youssef. Youssef came into the UFC with a lot of hype. He looked good early on in his UFC career, but he's thrown up about three or four goose eggs now.
+310 for that.
And I think Diego Lopez is a guy that could, if he gets your back, he's going to submit you, and I think he can do that against Sadiq Youssef. My play on the Kayla Harrison Holly Holm fight is going to be totally dependent upon what Kayla Harrison. We're recording this on Friday morning. What Kayla Harrison looks like on the weigh-ins. Yes, she has looked great during fight week. She said all the right things in the interviews. And with Holly Holm pushing 42 years of age, Kayla Harrison with going to be probably the best grappler that Holly Holm has faced since Ronda Rousey. But we know what happened against Ronda Rousey, but it's not the same Holly Holm that fought Ronda Rousey way back when. I'm going to get probably creative and think maybe there's a submission opportunity there for Kayla Harrison. Holly Holm's not a woman that gets submitted a lot. I think twice in her career she has. But I think that there might be some value there with Kayla Harrison. Aljamain Sterling, I'm curious to see what he's going to look like at 145. Mm-hmm. He was out, you know, obviously a great champion at 135. He was always an extremely large, guy for that division. And Calvin Kattar is one of the several fighters on this card. Three of them come to mind for sure. That is coming back after a long layoff and a gruesome injury. He blew out his knee his last fight. This is his return fight. You know, he's 36 years of age. He's got great boxing. He's got good takedown defense, but Sterling is awkward with his takedowns, funky, no pun intended, with his strikes. He'll be prepared. We've talked about it before. I love the Sarilongo camp. So might be a small play on Aljamain Sterling. And Alexander Rocic is another guy coming off of a severe injury, 2-year layoff. I think it's a very, very tough matchup, and I am shocked that Jiří Procházka, up until yesterday, was an underdog. It's now kind of turned into a pick'em.
Yeah.
I'm all on Jiří Procházka.
It's around Rocha is around minus 115. Procházka is minus 105.
Okay. I think Jiří Procházka for sure. I think Jiří could finish him. If not, you know, Rocha, maybe it goes over. You know, Rocha really hasn't looked awesome since he had an unbelievable knockout of Jim Manoa a few fights ago. If you haven't seen those highlights, I highly recommend you go and watch. The fight is like 2 minutes long, and the knockout that he has against Jim Manoa is fantastic. But I think Jiří Procházka is certainly going to be a play that I recommend at FatCheckSports.com.
All right, let's get into the main event, the main card here. Not the main event, we'll do that at the end. But the main card here, I have a feeling that, and this is going to be part of my my prop of the night. We hit the prop of the night last week. This is going to be part of my prop of the night thinking, is that Bo Nickel comes in 5-0. He is minus 3,000 to beat Cody Brundage, who is plus 1,120. I believe that they want to start the main card with a literal bang, and they want Bo Nickel to start this with a knockout.
I mean, look, there's a reason why Bo Nickel's on the main card, and there's a reason why he's opening up the main card.
Yeah.
As the UFC has pegged this guy as a future star, and so far, so good. You know, he's unblemished. He's looked fantastic. And look, Cody Gumbridge, I've cashed on him before as an underdog. He's got a good double leg. He's got a good guillotine. He's got some power. But Cody Brundage knows why he's there. He's there as you know, to be served to Bo Nickel.
Dude, you're getting knocked out tonight. Like, you're getting knocked. Here's a couple extra $1,000. You're getting knocked out tonight.
You are, and I'm surprised too. Like, just I looked at it this morning. I mean, Bo Nickel to win by knockouts plus 145.
Plus 155 on FanDuel, and that, my friends, is the prop of the night.
There it is.
Bo Nickel to win by knockout, plus 155 on FanDuel. That's the prop of the night. I know that it's shorter odds if you wanted to do by submission, but Brundage is someone who's been knocked out before a few times, and I think that they want – I don't know if you can rig it or whatever, but I think that Bo Nickel, UFC 300, wants to make a statement. I think that the UFC, Dana White, would love to start this main card with a knockout. And so I believe that Bo Nickel winning by knockout.
Yeah,
sure.
And they want him to make a statement.
Yeah.
And I think this is it's a matchup that's perfect. I actually made a play for Bo Nickel to win by knockout in round one. I got a little bit more value in that as well, but I certainly believe that the rock – and look, they had ceremonial stare downs after that press conference, and I've been taught a little bit about mannerisms and looking at, you know, physical kind of actions. Cody Brundage does not want to be there. Cody Brundage was happy for
the
opportunity.
At the press conference, it's just like, oh God, one more day till I get knocked out.
Exactly. So I think it's a perfect matchup for Bo Nickel, and you're right. It's going to be a showcase for Bo Nickel because, look, they've pegged this guy as a future champion, and up until this point, he looked like he's going to be.
In what could be a main event in any other fight card, Charles Oliveira, Armin Sarukian to determine the next challenger at lightweight. Oliveira plus 185 on FanDuel right now. Armin Sarukian minus 230. This is going to be a great fight. I mean, Oliveira is 12-1 over the last 6 years, all but one of those coming by stoppage. 20 finishes inside the octagon. Sarukian, he's 8-1 in his last nine. This should be a great fight. I know you're going to go Oliveira just because you love Oliveira.
Yeah.
Sarukian's hard to pass up at 230, heavy favorite. But if one guy is going to find a way to overcome the odds, it's Charles Oliveira.
I mean, here's the key points about this fight. You know, Sarukian, you mentioned 8-1. That one loss was to Islam Makhachev when he took the fight on short notice. Obviously, we know what type of fighter Islam Makhachev is. He's the UFC lightweight champion, one of the best pound-for-pound fighters we have in the sport, and Sarukian took that fight on short notice. Obviously, also, you know, Makhachev wasn't the fighter that he is today, but still, it's Makhachev. So to do that, uber impressive. Armin Sarukian, though, has not fought anybody to the level of competition like a Charles Oliveira. He's never seen a guy like Charles Oliveira before. I mean, look at that list that Charles Oliveira has gone through.
Yeah.
Of the Justin Gaethjes, the Dustin Poiriers of the world, and won the championship, and just looked so brilliant doing what he did to Beneil Dariush just the last time that we saw him. Mm-hmm. He is an outstanding Muay Thai practitioner. He is. I talked about Diego Lopez earlier on the card about taking your back. Like, Charles Oliveira, get your back. Forget about it. You're going to sleep. Mm-hmm. The thing is that the matchup is money line the way that it is because we saw the caliber fighter that Islam Makhachev, what he did to Charles Oliveira. He won in the stand-up, got Charles Oliveira off of his back where he's not as dangerous as he is when he's on your back or on top, and Islam Makhachev got him out of there. The other thing, too, is that Charles Oliveira has been dropped like in every fight. Like, he was losing the Chandler fight. He was losing the Poirier fight, the Gaethje fight. And he just comes back and just either knocks the guy out or submits him. So I get where people would be going, that Armin Sarukian should be the favorite. I get the fact that he's been put in a lot of parlays. There's the belief that he's going to knock out Charles Oliveira because Charles Oliveira doesn't like go to judges' scorecards. He gets killed or be killed. Mm-hmm. I just can't do it. He's the most prolific finisher in UFC history.
It's a little sprinkle.
Yeah, a little sprinkle. I mean, Armin Sarukian is going in with the big boys. I mean, this is okay. You want to go to deep water and look. You cannot with a straight face confidently tell me that if Armin Sarukian went through the murderer's row that Charles Oliveira did over his last 10 fights, mm-hmm. that he's going to have that same, unblemished record. And a lot of people, too, are pointing to, and I talked about this with you last week on the show, was this is akin to Poirier versus Benoit Saint-Denis, which was the headline, part of the co-main event of the last UFC pay-per-view. And everybody was all about Saint-Denis. This guy's a killer. He's finishing guys. He's looked great. Well, Dustin Poirier is another type of, scenario. Deep end for sure. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Sarukian win, but I'm hoping that Charles Oliveira one more time.
And then he
gets a rematch for the UFC lightweight championship.
Yeah, I'm going to sprinkle a little bit on Oliveira as well. All right, our first of three, quote, title fights, even though this is not for a division or anything like that. The BMF title between Justin Gaethje and Max Holloway. Justin Gaethje -170, the favorite. Max Holloway +140. Two guys that, if they weren't fighting for a title, deserve to fight for some form of belt at UFC 300. And as much as I've crapped on the BMF title before, at least the winner of this fight gets to walk away with something. And Justin Gaethje has walked away with more post-fight bonuses than almost any fighter in UFC. So he's going to come for that extra $300,000 if he can get it as a performance or possibly even fight of the night. And this definitely could be fight of the night. These guys don't need any introduction from me. You know exactly who these guys are and how they can fight and the onslaught of opponents that they've both gone through. But Gaethje and Holloway, this should be a great fight. If not, the best fight of the main card.
Yeah, I think it's the one fight that everybody's looking forward to the most. It's for the BMF championship. So it's a 5-round fight. Got to remember that. Mm-hmm. Even though it's a makeshift championship, Mark Coleman's going to be there to deliver it. Thank God it's not The Rock. I think we're over. I love The Rock, but WrestleMania, he was in the mainstream a lot. So good for Mark Coleman. He deserves it because dude saved people from a fire, his family from a fire. So he's going to be awarded it to honor that bout. All right. The first thing, obviously, you're right. Both of these guys should be fighting for the championships in their respective divisions. They foregoed that to have this fantastic, matchup. Gaethje comes with a lot of power, great leg kicks. He's got good cardio because he trains at altitude. And, the dude is just a killer. He's a kill or be killed, type of mentality. Max Holloway might be the greatest featherweight that we've ever seen. His only losses recently are to the champion or the former champion, Alexander Volkanovski. Mm-hmm. And people believe that he'd be a very difficult matchup for Ilia Topuria if they ever to fight. The way that I'm handicapping this fight is, look, we've seen Max Holloway try to go to lightweight before. It was a matchup a couple of years ago against Dustin Poirier. That did not go well for him because one of Max Holloway's strengths is the ability to walk through fire, ability to walk through strikes and just eat it. It's one of the best chins, maybe the best chin we've ever seen in MMA. And it was a little bit different getting thumped from a 145er to a 155-pound fighter. So he's looked a lot better this week in the lead-up to weigh-ins this afternoon and the fight tomorrow. He didn't probably put on the weight properly that first time. And I'm weighing heavily in that. I'm believing that, he was always a big 145er. He looks full at going up to 155.
Yeah.
So there is that. And I think that He will have the cardio advantage over Justin Gaethje. Gaethje really doesn't, you know, experience that a lot. So I'm probably going to do a small sprinkle on Max Holloway, thinking that he's going to be able to walk through those leg kicks and at some point in rounds four or five start to get the better of Justin Gaethje. The issue is that because of that forward movement, what's the one strike to Justin Gaethje? It's the leg kicks, you know.
Yep. So,
and he, if you were affected by Dustin Poirier's power, I mean, Poirier is more of a precision striker and a great boxer. Gaethje thumps like that dude knocks people out.
Yep.
So for me, it's not a recommendation at Fat Jack Sports. And by the way, I'm going to have like 15 plays for all of our subscribers. We've been doing that. We've been going deeper into cards a lot, and it was great last week.
Yeah, you did.
You have a lot to play with for this week. But for me, it's a small sprinkle on Max Holloway just because I think that he's just a better overall fighter than Justin Gaethje. I think the weight, the weight for the 155-pound division has gone smoother, and he at some point is going to be able to take over this fight.
We disagree.
It's not like the first time we've disagreed.
No. It's not. And I think, you know, because it's UFC 300, we won our prop of the night last week. I already gave you a prop of the night for this fight at Bo Nickel by knockout. I think UFC 300 is worthy
of two props of the night.
So
wow.
Two props of the night, a smaller sprinkle. So if the Bo Nickel play is a full unit, this is like a quarter to half a unit.
Okay.
Let's go with half a unit. Justin Gaethje by knockout.
Wow.
I'm going Gaethje by knockout.
What is that?
Plus 165. It's not that much. I was debating between Gaethje by points because Holloway has been able to withstand a lot, right? Like you mentioned, the walking through fire, all that kind of stuff. So Gaethje by points is plus 280. Gaethje by knockout is plus 165. I might sprinkle a little bit on each of those. I think Gaethje wins a fight. And I think that Holloway just hasn't looked the same since the Volkanovski fight. And I think Gaethje is going to win the fight. It's all a matter of, can Holloway withstand enough, like you said, leg kicks? Does he walk into something? I just think Gaethje's winning the fight. It's not going to come by submission. So he's either going to knock him out or it's going to be by points. I'm going to sprinkle a little bit on both of those.
Yeah, no, I get that. And you know, it's a good point by you. You know, Max Holloway's never been knocked out. Probably hasn't fought someone with the power that Justin Gaethje possesses. And also, on Max Holloway's side, you know, he is not a knockout guy. He's a volume striker. He's a guy that overwhelms you. I mean, his knockout against Chan Sung Jung, the Korean Zombie, two fights ago, like, you know, Jung's just walking into him with his head, you know, in the air. I mean, you knock people out by that. So I get it, but I'm going to be on Bless' side. I think he shines one more time, especially at UFC 300.
Our co-main event, a title fight. It's strawweight here for Zhang Weili and Yan Zhaonan. Zhaonan is plus 360. Weili is minus 500. This should be a great fight in the women's strawweight division. This is the first all-Chinese championship fight in UFC history between these two women, and this should be a good one for the strawweight title.
Yeah, I mean, look, fantastic matchup. These two women, as you said, they should be fighting for the championship against each other. It's too bad that this fight card's, you know, or this fight is not being placed kind of overseas in, you know, in Asia. I think that would be probably a better location for it. But look, it's the co-headlining spot. Weili has been outstanding since she's reclaimed the championship. She's overly improved her wrestling. She's got power. She's got great footwork. She could go five rounds. She could get you out of there in one round. And, you know, her opponent's going to look to kind of keep this fight standing, make this a kickboxing match, and either overwhelm her opponent over time or, you know, get some sort of knockout. I think if Weili is, and I assume that the method of victory for her is get this fight to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Get this fight to the ground where I believe she has a distinct advantage, and I think she's going to get a finish.
Okay.
I think that she, you know, the under 3.5 and the finish via TKO are probably the two methods of victory to get this price really down on Weili, who, is a finisher, but not maybe known as a finisher.
Plus 175 by knockout.
Yeah, I think, mm-hmm. and I think it's of the TKO kind of ground and pound variety, getting this fight to the ground, understanding where she has the advantage. So I think that's the direction to take with this one.
Yeah, the total rounds you're looking at on FanDuel, over 3.5, minus 144, under plus 114. And then if you're looking at method of victory, Weili by knockout, plus 175. Weili by points, plus 180. Weili by submission, plus 470 for those.
Yeah, I think the Weili, her wrestling, she's, I now believe, with Team Alpha Male. Mm-hmm. So, and those guys are awesome wrestlers. That's what they train. That's what they know. So I think her tutelage with Uriah Faber and that crew is certainly going to help. And that would be, I think, again, easiest way to victory for her to get the win.
All right, our main event right here for UFC 300. This one should be great. Alex Pereira, Jamahal Hill. Pereira the favorite, minus 140. Jamahal Hill, the underdog, at plus 114, so not a huge underdog. And we've talked about it before. Pereira wants to fight in, what, 3 weeks?
3 weeks. 3 weeks,
in,
yeah.
In 3 weeks. So he wants to have a quick turnaround. He wants this fight to end quickly. And I was watching the press conferences yesterday, right? And have you seen the Key and Peele skit where it's the two guys and it's before a fight and one of them is talking a lot and saying, "Hey man, we're gonna go in. It's gonna be great. I'm gonna knock him out. I'm gonna do all this." And then the one that goes to the other fighter and he's just like, "I'm going to eat your children." That's what it looked like yesterday. Pereira, stone faced, freshly shaven head. I do not want to mess with that dude. He looks like he is out for blood. And, like, you even saw it, like, after he responded, Hill kind of was like, "Okay, yeah, but we're just going to, you know, I'm just going to knock you out, man. You talk about whatever you want to talk about." Like he just seemed a little, like, taken aback by the very short, whereas he was like, "I'm going to make you remember this moment." You're like, "Oh, my God. Okay."
Why is this so serious?
Yeah, like, I might have another prop of the night on this one. We might be going three props on this one because this one's going to be an awesome fight between these two guys. Minus 140 against plus 115 for Jamahal Hill and Alex Pereira.
I mean, look, I've been proven wrong a lot. You know, that's what happens in this business. But like I talked about, there's a theme. There's three fighters on this card that are coming back. First fight back, significant injury, long layoff. Calvin Kattar, Alexander Rogic, and Jamahal Hill. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jamahal Hill tore his Achilles tendon. And that's a very, very obviously gruesome injury. Mm-hmm. Dude did it playing basketball. With John Anik's brother, by the way. gruesome injury. And, like, your ability for movement, your ability to go fully in training camp, there's reports saying that he's been able to do that, and there's reports saying no, he has not been able to do that. He's kind of been rushed into this moment to come and headline UFC 300 and try and reclaim mm-hmm. his championship. He's going to need movement. He's not going to want to sit and be in the middle of the octagon with one of the best strikers and most powerful strikers we've ever seen in the UFC.
I'm scared of Pereira, just watching him.
Yeah, I mean, his left hand... he knocked out Israel Adesanya with it in the fifth round.
Yeah.
In the fifth round of a title fight at middleweight. Mm-hmm. And I know that, you know, the last four fights, people are pointing to the last four fights and kind of the schedule strength and whatnot. And Pereira's obviously 3-1. He got knocked out by Israel Adesanya and then went up to the light heavyweight division. Mm-hmm. People are talking about Hill's wrestling going to be a factor of, I don't see him. He's not a wrestler. Dude, just.
By submission is 13-1. Well, he's not a wrestler.
He's not a. No. These two guys are going to go in and try and kill each other.
Yeah.
A respected handicapper that I follow and you know talk to a lot, he likes the over. He thinks there's going to be a little of over 1.5. I don't agree. I think that these two guys are going to try and showcase, and is it going to be the precision striking, the accuracy? And by the way, Pereira's a student of the game, like watches a ton of mm-hmm. film, like really researches his opponents a lot and looks for those openings. Or Hill has got that like natural athleticism, like that power you're just not used to. And you know, Pereira's been in a lot of wars, a lot of back and forth with the kickboxing career and the wars he's had all the time. But for me, the tutelage he gets with Glover Teixeira, a guy that's been in the cage for 5 rounds, mm-hmm. which I'm on Hill. So Pereira at $1.20, $1.25, mm-hmm. and plus, as you just said, how motivated this dude is, how insane this guy is to want to fight
in three weeks
later in Brazil to headline the pay-per-view. against Magomed Ankalaev.
Done.
The unbeaten Russian.
Book it.
Yes.
Book it, because
yes.
This is not going over. And the third prop of the night, Pereira by knockout, plus 135.
I love it.
What did I text you last night? Pereira is going to F Hill up.
This guy, yeah.
Pereira is going to F Hill up. And I don't normally like watch a lot of the press conferences and stuff yesterday, but it was live last night while I was just sitting at home. And I was like, dude, this is
Well, I know like when you're into man. This, because when I get a text from you, not on a Thursday night about the White Sox or not about like what time are we recording the pod, about MMA, that's when I know Abdallah is dialed in.
I cannot wait for this card. It's going to be awesome. We've given out a ton of picks for right now. Make sure you subscribe to Fat Jack Sports, fatjacksports.com. Get all of Jordan's picks. We have to craft a parlay. So we have to absolutely craft a parlay here for this fight card. So what do you want to start with?
I think we should start with the first card we talked about, the first fight we talked about. I think Deiveson Figueiredo, if he doesn't get the knockout, he's going to get the win over Cody Garbrandt.
Minus 300 to start UFC 300. That's, I like it.
Okay.
It's a good sign.
I think Kayla Harrison is a big-time favorite all for a reason. She's not going to be threatened by the stand-up of Holly Holm. She's going to get this fight kind of where she wants it to go. The Diego Lopez, I don't want to put him in there. I'm trying to think through the card. Oh, well, Yuri Prochazka. I even though he's slight money line favorite, let's get some value on that.
Minus 104. Okay, that's some big value. Okay, all right. Those are the prelims. Anything on the main card?
Bo Nickel's not going to add much to our.
No, he's really not.
Nor is Wei Lee. Wei Lee? Let's get Wei Lee in there.
All right, we'll throw Wei Lee in there. That adds a little bit. We'll throw a bit Bo Nickel in there just for funsies.
Okay, so we're at a five spot right now.
Yeah, we're at a five spot right now. Five fight parlay does not pay a lot. We need some juice. Need a little bit of juice.
We need some juice there. Trying to go through the... Not Moni Moicano. Jessica Andrade.
Jessica Andrade, let's add Andrade at minus 140. Okay, six-leg parlay plus 585.
Okay.
All right, so we've got Figueiredo, we've got Kayla Harrison, we've got Yuri Prochazka, Zhang Weili, Bo Nickel, Jessica Andrade. All of that pays just under 6-1. Make sure you grab the boost on FanDuel, boost that up a little bit, and you'll be set. So that is our parlay. All the picks, make sure you check out FatJackSports.com. What did I give out for my props of the night? Nickel by knockout at plus 155. I gave out Gaethje by knockout and by submission, a little sprinkle on each. And then, of course, Alex Pereira by knockout. This should be great. We've been waiting a while for this
one. So pumped.
No fight card next week, but we will do a pod to recap everything early in the week just from everything that we saw this weekend. Thank you for tuning in and listening to the Unnamed MMA Podcast. Make sure you follow Jordan at Wood on ESPN 1000. You can follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. And we'll be back next week for another episode of the Unnamed MMA Podcast. Thanks for listening.